I'm just going to continue with what the Lord gave me to preach. I actually had a really strong word for us as a church, probably for the church. And it just happened to be in Colossians as I was studying, like the pages just kind of just jumped out of the Bible, and I saw something that I've really never seen before. Maybe I haven't heard before either. But it's found in Colossians 3, 1 and 4. I did a PowerPoint because I want us to really grasp what God is saying to the church. I hope you're tuning in to what he's saying. We're living in really interesting times. There's never been a time like this in history. There have been worldwide plague. There probably been many throughout the years, but there has never been a time in history like this time. And God wants us to focus on not this earth anymore. And so I've titled this sermon Above, which is where we need to focus. And you've got all the notes there and all the scriptures. And so I'm just going to read the scripture found in Colossians 3, 1 to 4. It says this: If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him. I just want you to look at that scripture for a moment and see that. See that the repetition of it. You were raised with Christ. Where are you? With Christ. In heaven. And if you're in heaven with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is. It's pretty straightforward. It's probably a truth you've never thought about, but it's time for the church to think about it. Seriously. Jesus is at the right hand of God, the Bible says. And we're in Christ. We've been raised with him, and we're seated with him, according to Ephesians in this passage. We are seated with Christ in heaven. Now, I bet you some of you don't even think about that. But just stop for a moment and think about that. One moment, I'll give you 10 seconds. Think about that. You are seated right now, not on this pew, earthly. You're seated on your butt on the pew. But spiritually, you are seated up there. Now think about that. It's probably something so foreign to many of us to even contemplate that we are not of this world anymore. That we have been bought and paid for and purchased and redeemed and set free and delivered and reconciled and redeemed and all that stuff that the first two chapters of Colossians talk about. Because of Jesus. And yet, because of Jesus, we're not really here. We're up there. And if we think about that, verse 2 makes a lot of sense. It tells us how to live. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So where do you spend most of your time thinking? Is it earthly stuff? Is it the things of the world or the things of earth where you're really seated? And then he says, this is why you should do that, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life, real life that's found in Christ is found in Christ with God, who is up there with God, where we are seated also. Which you probably think, I don't even understand that, Mike. What does it mean? When Christ, who is our life, notice that, when Christ, who is our life, he who has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. There's no life without Christ. Then you also will appear with him in glory. You will be fully realized at the end when he comes back. You'll understand it all. Now, I want to go through this very carefully and show you what God showed me. So there's a past tense reality that you died. Spiritually, you're dead. You are dead. When you come into the world, you're spiritually dead. You can't do anything but satisfy your own desires. Just think about your own life before you came to Jesus. Think about kids, and that's how they're wired. Young teenagers, that's all they think about is themselves. Most of the time. They want to satisfy their own desires. That's the old flesh. But in Christ, it's dead. You're a new creation. And it's not just dead in the ground. You were raised with Christ. When did that happen? The moment you believed in Jesus Christ and you were baptized. The moment you said yes to Jesus, I believe Jesus is Lord and Christ and God and Savior, and I'm putting my faith in Him. Then you are choosing to die to the world. And in baptism, you choose literally to go in the grave with Christ, to die to your old life and come out a new creation in Christ. And that's a past tense. That's a past reality unless you haven't made that choice yet. So the present tense is, we are raised with Christ. We are seated in heaven with Christ. There's all kinds of scriptures there I can take you to. You are hidden with Christ in God. You are hidden. Think about that. You're in Christ, hidden with God. And future, Christ will appear, and you will appear with Him in glory. This earthly life that you share, this earthly body, will go, and you'll get a new body, glorified body. And you'll be, the Bible says, totally transformed into His likeness. It'll be an incredible day, one we are hoping for. But the reality is, this is what happened in the past, this is who I am in the present, and this is what's going to take place in the future. So, what is our response to this? Paul says, very simply, seek those things which are above. We need to be heavenly minded. We need to stop thinking about the world, the earth, and start thinking about heaven, where we're really seated. And I want you to show you, go back one book if you're in Colossians, go back to Philippians. And go to chapter 3. What does it mean to seek those things which are above? There has to be this earnest desire to know who I am in Christ. And Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. There's a pressing on. There's a desire to know. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And you see in Paul's words there, this intensity, this desire to know, to think about and meditate and intellectually, in your mind, know what it means to belong to Jesus. And I want to ask you, how much time do you spend doing that? Thinking, meditating, reasoning, seeking after, seeking for, striving. The literal word means to strive, to press on, to desire, and choose to just go for it all. And then he says, in verse 2, set your mind on things above. He says, seek those things which are above, and then set your mind on things above. And it literally means your heart. Set your heart on things above, which talks about your whole inner being. What is it you desire on the inside of you so that it comes out on the outside? Because whatever you desire on the inside will manifest on the outside. What is your heart chasing? Well, how do you know that? You'll see it by the life in you. The outside will produce what's in your heart. That's what Jesus said. So if you don't give a lot of thought to Jesus, your heart's not for Jesus. If He's your pursuit and your passion and you're seeking to know Him, you're desiring to know what it means to be heavenly minded, then you'll manifest that on the outside. You'll probably be one of those Jesus freaks And people don't like to be around with because he always talks about spiritual things.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. It's a good thing. We're new creations in Christ. We're seated with Christ. We want to know about Christ. And it says not only our thoughts, but our affections and our will. Everything we do. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures there I can go to. But if you look at Matthew 6, 9 and 10, Jesus said, when you pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, that's what it means to be heavenly minded. I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about him and his kingdom. Verse 33 of Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. See, I'm seeking after Christ. I'm seeking to know him. That's my desire. Why? Because I'm seated with him. Every day, every month, every hour of every day, I'm seated with Christ. Think about that. Over and over, the scriptures say we're dead. We're dead to the old life. We're dead to the old life. We live for Christ. Christ is our life. Over and over in Paul's letters, even John's letters, and Peter's letters, it's about us in relationship with Jesus. Now, this is going to make a whole lot of difference in your life. In a time like this, where it's crazy and chaotic, and you don't know which way to turn, and things are not working out, and you're locked out of your work, or whatever it is that you can't do that you used to do, and the government is saying you can't do this anymore, you are going to have to press into Christ to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And this is the word I heard from the Lord very clearly. He wanted me to preach on this passage. I said, Lord, should I do like a Christmas sermon and, the traditional stuff? And he said, Mike, just keep on in the book of Colossians.
Yeah.
And as I meditated on this, it was very clear, you want us to be heavenly minded in these days.
Yeah.
You don't want us to focus on the earth, on the flesh, on the material anymore. You want us to think and feel and sense and discern and meditate on and be motivated by those things which are heavenly, not fleshly, not earthly. That's our response to the reality that we are in Christ, seated with him in heaven. Here's the requirements. Your life is hidden with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ, in Christ, which means to find life, you have to find Christ. Okay? Do you get that? Where is life found? In Christ. He is the source of life. I'm going to take these two scriptures. Let's go to Romans 8:10 first. If Christ is in you, Romans 8:10, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Okay? There's a difference. If you're living in the world and satisfying your own self, that's death. That produces death. But your spirit, if you're led by Holy Spirit, by Christ living inside of you, then you are alive. You're alive. You're not dead. 1 Peter 1:8. These guys got it. They got it. They totally got what it was like to pursue Christ. Peter says this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. See, the things of this world don't satisfy you. Your life is in Christ. And even though you can't see him, you're hidden in Christ, you can't see Christ, but you're there in him. That's some supernatural, spiritual thing you just can't get a hold of in the natural. But even though you can't see it, the reality is we have, as believers in Christ, this inexpressible joy within us. Right? I hope you do. To find Christ, you have to leave the world. We are heavenly beings and belong to a spiritual realm. Why do we spend so much time chasing the things of the world? And the exhortation is to set our mind on things above. You know what Jesus said to Peter? In Matthew 16, just want to take you there real quick. It's a very powerful passage that Jesus uses when Peter, who wants to step in the way of Jesus and what he's supposed to do. 16:23. Peter says, "Lord, you'll never die. You'll never do what you want to do. Go to Jerusalem and die. I'll never let that happen." Jesus says to him, verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." You see that? That's a big statement. What would Jesus say to us? Are we getting in the way of what Jesus wants to do? Or are we pursuing the things of God? That's what it means to set your mind on heavenly things, on spiritual things, to be in God's will. But watch what he says here, verse 24. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" And Jesus is very clear with Peter. He's saying, "Peter, listen, you got to stop being of the world. You got to leave the world behind. You have to deny your life and come and find true life in me." You get that point? That's the requirement. Leave the world, come and find life in Christ. We are living in a time to live from above. It's time. It's time to live from above. We've been living on earth long enough. We've been living by earth long enough. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your jobs and leave all this and leave your house and you know, leave your family and all that. What I'm saying is, it is time to seek the Lord and the things of God. It is time to hear from the Lord with everything about life, with your finances, with your job, with your family. I'm going to say this because I see it so clearly, and God keeps showing me over and over again. One of the number one things that keep us from pressing into God and knowing Him more, knowing His will, is family. We are willing to compromise our faith in Christ to pursue the things that our family wants. Or we're willing to even compromise what we believe. It's amazing how many people will not be clear about what Jesus requires of them to their family. They camouflage it, they masquerade it, they sound so good because they don't want to offend people. Offense is what leads people to repentance. It's that conviction that, whoa, I'm a sinner. When was the last time you told your family member who's in sin that they're a sinner? And God does not like sin. I don't know why we just want to dance around it. These are the people we love, and I keep hearing, you know, this is pastoral what I'm talking about. My family members, I'm so concerned with them. But listen, tell them about Jesus. There's nothing else that will save them but Christ. Well, I want to minister to them by good works, and I want to be gentle. They need Jesus. They're earthly minded. They need a wake-up call to be heavenly minded. They need to take their eyes off themselves and look up and see the redemption drive by. That's what needs to happen. Why did I go down that road? Because it's time. It's time. Are you tired of seeing your family? You don't run to the things of the world and be directed by people who don't know God? I am. I'm just saying. We're allowing worldly, secular people to dictate how we should live. And there's only one person who should tell us how to live, and that's Jesus. If we're heavenly minded. So, what's the reward? He says in verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, and you will also appear with him in glory." Christ is your life. That's your reward. One day you will be with him in heaven. When he appears, you will appear in all fullness, no longer hidden. Your true self will emerge. But we are to pursue that now. 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do not know when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." This will be the realization that our fight and our journey and our struggle is over, and we're going to be with Jesus, and we're going to be just like him. We are to pursue that right now. We're to pursue Christ right now. And God said to me, "Tell my people, I want them to start looking up and stop looking down at the world. I want them to start looking up. I have things for them that they will only discover if they look up to me and seek me. Seek what is above. That's what Paul says. Set your mind on things above. You know, when God writes something twice in his word, we need to pay attention. Twice, back to back. Seek it above and set your mind on things above. Where are we to be focused? Above. Our whole being. That's Paul's way of saying your whole being. Your heart, your mind, everything about you should be focused upward on Christ. And you think, well, maybe this is difficult. You know, I live in the world, and I got all these responsibilities, and I got this and that. I want to take you to a Christmas passage and look at a couple of people who are focused on being on the things above. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. I'm going to give you some very practical advice on how to be above focused or upward focused. I'm going to read you the story of Simeon. Luke 2, 25. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul." Simeon's quite a man. A righteous and devout man, it says, verse 25. He was already focused on God. You see that? His focus was on God. He's righteous. He had chosen to obey the scriptures. He had chosen to be dedicated to God. And where were his thoughts? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. How do you wait for Jesus? And we're waiting for him to come back. You get in the Word, and you study, and you meditate, and you ask Holy Spirit to show you what you need to know. You set your mind on things above. Okay? He was Scripture-focused, waiting, looking for the signs. When is he coming? Number two, he was Holy Spirit. Did you see the Spirit is mentioned three times here? He was Holy Spirit-led. Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by Holy Spirit. When do you think that happened? In prayer. When he's meditating and reading the Word and spending time with God, Holy Spirit is speaking to him. How are you going to be heavenly minded? You've got to spend time in quiet, in prayer, listening to Holy Spirit. Okay? Friends, there's no other way. There's no other way to be heavenly minded except to connect with heaven. How do you do that? You sit with God and listen. Number three, he perceived and embraced Christ. He was waiting for Christ to appear, for the Messiah to appear. When he arrived, he knew it. See, that's how focused he was. That's how much he knew about Jesus, and possibly knew Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus showed up, he knew it. Okay, we need to be that close to Jesus that when he speaks and when he shows up, "Yes, Jesus, you have something to say. I've been seeking you. I'm pressing into you." And by the word, you know, by the way, that word seek, the verb seek means to continually seek. We call it a present imperative. It's a continual seeking. Continue to seek Jesus all the time. Why? Because that's where you're seated. So Simeon was doing that. He was ready for Christ. He wanted Christ. And his focus finally was on Jesus. He focused on Christ. Anna. If you keep going, verse 36, there was also prophetess Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. You want to get close to Jesus? You want to know who he is? You want to set your mind on things above? Spend time worshiping God. Spend time praying and fasting. Getting to know Jesus. There's two Old Testament examples of godly people who wanted to know more of God, who wanted him more. And the challenge today is, friends, in this day and age, I'm going to say it again, this is what I heard very clearly. In this day and age of craziness and confusion and whatever else you want to call it, just seems like chaos is ruling. It is time for us as the body of Christ to rise up and seek the heart of our Father, seek the heart of Jesus for ourselves, to know what the Spirit is saying to the church. I mentioned this last time we were together. One area especially which I am pressing into God for is what to do with finances. It's a very important aspect of our lives. I do believe as followers of Jesus, we will be persecuted and they will come after our material possessions and anything we own to try to take us down. I see very soon in the future, not far off future, but near future, that they will start taking away our freedoms as Christians and our charitable status and all that stuff. There will be a full-out assault on the church. And I'm talking the true church, the church who stands up for Jesus. And we need to be ready. And so I lay this before you, one challenge, get to know Jesus. What are you doing to get to know Christ? That's the call of Paul on us. Let's pray. Lord, your word is powerful. It is truth. It speaks to us across the centuries and instructs us how we ought to live in 2021. In 2022, coming up, Lord, you are saying to your church to rise up and press into me, to know me more, to pursue me, to lay hold of me, that I might lay hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. God, it is time. Would you speak to your church? Would you speak to each one of us here, Lord? We want to know you more. For those who don't, I pray, Lord, by your Spirit, you would draw them to yourself and reveal Christ to us. Lord, for us who know him, we want to know him more. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Seal it in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Any comments? Always open it up for. I wish I could state how intense a time we're living in for followers of Jesus. And it's just starting. We haven't even seen it yet. But it's coming. It's time to make a choice. Ask yourself one simple question: who am I living for? Me or him? Anybody want to respond?
I just remember that this message that you're sharing today has been resounding for maybe 3 years now, at least, that in sequel, on different occasions, different people have been already sounding this alarm. So the Lord is great and good and, you know, wise in patient in letting us know these things with so much time in advance that we really need to stop fooling around. And, because if it would not be much longer, he's been giving us lots of time.
More urgency.
Yes.
Urgency building.
Yes.
Like a warning. get more urgent.
Yeah, that's the word I heard, urgent.
Yeah.
It's not time to fool around anymore. Shelley.
I often see when I'm reading and I think about Jesus, they're talking about what he's going through and what he's been through and all that, and in his time, he was in Roman government was big in there, religious people were big in there, it was chaos, and they had nothing. They kept their eyes on heaven, they owned nothing. If they did have something, they gave it. So they had to just get up and run, get up and go. But his message was always, this is like what you're seeing. You know, that's just the dark, that's the evil. Get in there and tell people about Jesus, there's light.
Mm-hmm.
But they did live in chaos. I don't sometimes see it any much different than today.
It's not
similar comparative, but in the scriptures, when they talk about the government, when they're doing and stuff, I'm thinking just tag on 2021 to it. You got the same chaos going on. And Jesus had a message and lived during those times. Without you, the lies on Jesus' way.
Yeah, it's a choice. I mean, he was very clear throughout the Gospels. Here's the thing we really don't see when we read the Gospels. The Gospels are written about 70 AD. To a church that is being persecuted, because Nero persecuted the church like crazy, like burning them, and torturing and arresting. And so the Gospels are written at a time when the church is being persecuted like never before in history. And Jesus, if you read the Gospels, like if you sit down and read and say, Lord, show me what the message is today to this church. Well, you go to the book of Revelation and see it too. But it's faithfulness to Christ. It's deny yourself, pick up the cross, follow me. If you want to find life, lose yours. And it continues to be the message. In a time of persecution and chaos when the government is overruling, we serve one king, no matter what the government does, and our allegiance is to him. And he has to be the one voice we hear. And there is no other, like when you read the book of Revelation, there's no other option. How do you defeat the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony, and not loving your lives even unto death. See, first century Christianity and Christianity, you can read Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it's an amazing book called The Cost of Discipleship. He was willing to do what was right no matter what the cost. And he was willing to lay down his life. And that's what Jesus called us to lay down our life. And I'm afraid a lot of us, when we sign up for that, we think in North American Christianity that, woohoo, I come to Jesus, I get. But in real Christianity, we give up. And I don't see a lot of that happening. Like, are we willing to give up everything to find everything in Christ? And I think that's where the church is coming to that crossroads. Right? When our buildings are closed, and when we can't do what we have always done, praise the Lord for that, then we need to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? Now that I can't do all the religious stuff I used to do. If you read your Gospels, you can't miss this either. Jesus hated religion. It was all about life in him. So that's the call. I don't know, I should probably preach this message when everybody returns. Because we all need to hear it over and over again.
Yeah, it's searching that mindset from us. The Lord has called us to do something with what he has given us in faithfulness, as opposed to the Lord has called us to have or not have something.
Good.
It's following him. Here is a cost and it's obedience, at least that denial of self, because now we have a mission that he has given us to do, as opposed to just having or have things.
Mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that feel that they deny themselves many, many times.
By not having something, or by yeah.
Well, or by giving it to someone else, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I pray that the Lord really shows what that means.
Yeah.
It's not having the new car drive the old car, it's not denying yourself.
No, in this time more than ever, we need to discern the voice of the Lord.
Yes, that's
like right. He said, all the ways that we said to do that. There are many voices. Many,
many voices.
Yeah. And which one is the Lord?
Amen. So let our prayer be, Lord, I want to hear your voice.